Imagine an artificial intelligence is tasked with, well, a seemingly simple job, right? It just needs to buy the cheapest waterproof jacket suitable for a trip to the Scottish Highlands.
Sounds easy enough.
Right. So it has two options. Option A is $90. It's heavily marketed, beautifully photographed, and it promises to, conquer stormy seas.
Yeah, your classic premium e-commerce listing.
Exactly. But then option B is $95. It has zero marketing copy, no flashy pictures, just a raw, stripped-down data file. And yet, every single time this experiment is run, the AI actively ignores the cheaper, heavily marketed jacket and spends more money on the raw data file.
Which is just wild when you think about
It
it.
really is. So today we're doing a deep dive into why an AI would make that choice and how it's quietly destroying the entire concept of online persuasion. Welcome to today's deep dive, everyone.
Glad to be here. We are pulling our insights today from O'Reilly Radar.
Oh, I love O'Reilly Radar. They're super good at cutting through the hype.
They really are. They typically cover a whole array of tech topics, software engineering, AI, data, and just general emerging tech trends. But today, we're focusing on one specific, fascinating article by Heiko Hontz.
Right, the piece called Engineering Storefronts for Agentic Commerce. Our mission today for you, the listener, is to decode how artificial intelligence is basically breaking the foundational rules of online shopping. We want to show you how traditional marketing is becoming completely invisible to these new AI buying agents.
Yeah, invisible is the perfect word for it, because the billions of dollars spent globally on beautifully lit boutiques and emotional branding, it's rapidly becoming useless.
Okay, let's unpack this, because we need to look closely at the logic of that jacket experiment.
What's fascinating here is why the agent bypassed the cheaper option. So Merchant A, the $90 jacket, relied entirely on traditional marketing persuasion. They wrote this emotionally resonant product description, something like the Alpine Explorer, ultra-breathable all-weather shell, conquers stormy seas.
Right, which perfectly appeals to the human ego. You read that as a shopper and you like immediately picture yourself standing on some craggy cliff feeling totally invincible.
Exactly. You don't care about the exact fabric specs because you've bought into the feeling.
But Merchant B went the complete opposite route. They just provided a raw database entry. It basically just declared a water resistance of 20,000 millimeters, nothing else. And they charged $95.
And remember, the autonomous agent was given one strict parameter: find the cheapest suitable option.
Which a human would instinctively say is Merchant A, it's cheaper, and it literally says it handles storms.
Right, but the AI agent recognized the geographic prompt. It saw Scottish Highlands and cross-referenced that with global weather data. It independently figured out that the Scottish Highlands requires handling heavy, continuous rain.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so it translated that geography into a hard numeric requirement. It determined it needed at least 15,000 to 20,000 millimeters of water resistance.
So it's like trying to get a bouncer to let you into a club by reciting a beautiful poem about how mature you are instead of just handing him your driver's license.
That is a brilliant analogy, yes.
Because the bouncer doesn't care about the poem. He doesn't care about your feelings or how well you write. He just wants the raw data that proves you're 21.
Exactly. The agent literally could not read the marketing poetry of Merchant A as a valid metric. It was scanning for an integer, and Merchant A offered phrases, so it dropped it.
It just threw it out. Which brings up the question of how these AI agents are actually built. Like, what is going on in the AI's brain?
Well, this brings us to what the article calls the sandwich architecture. It's how engineering teams are building these serious production-grade agents right now.
The sandwich architecture.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it has three distinct layers. Layer one is the translator. It's an LLM, a large language model. Its only job is to take a messy human request, like, I need a jacket for the Highlands, and translate it into a structured JSON query.
So it maps the vague word waterproof to exact millimeters.
Right. Then it hands that clean query to layer two, which is the executor,
Yeah.
and this is the middle layer.
Okay, meat of the sandwich.
Exactly. But here is the crucial part. This layer contains zero intelligence by design. None. It uses strict type validation. It's like a Python try except block.
So it doesn't think or reason at all.
Yep, it just expects a number. If it sees text like conquer stormy seas instead of a number, it throws a validation error and drops the product in 12 milliseconds.
12 milliseconds. Wait, here's where it gets really interesting. If the middle layer has zero intelligence, isn't that a step backward?
How do you mean?
Well, I mean, we're taking this incredibly smart AI that can pass the bar exam and we're forcing it through a dumb pipe. Why not just let the AI read the marketing copy and decide if it's good enough?
Because of hallucinations. In a production system where you are spending real human money, you cannot afford for the AI to guess wrong.
Oh, right, because if it guesses wrong about all weather, someone gets hypothermia.
Exactly. The LLMs handle the ambiguity at the ends of the sandwich, but that deterministic code in the middle provides a strict, hallucination-free safety check. It treats ambiguity as a total absence of capability.
That makes a ton of sense. And the text mentions a real-world application of this, right? The DocuSign example.
Yes. DocuSign is using this exact architecture for their sales outreach. They use an LLM for highly personalized research on a lead parsing messy human data online.
Okay.
But before they send any email, they use that deterministic, rule-based middle layer to enforce strict business guidelines.
Yeah.
Making sure the AI isn't hallucinating a massive discount or, you know, making a promise it shouldn't.
And it said this hybrid system is matching or even beating human sales reps, right?
Yeah, beating them on engagement. And then once the options pass that dumb, rigid filter, you get to layer three, the judge.
The final layer?
Right. This is a final LLM call that looks only at the surviving pre-verified shortlist and picks the winner. In the jacket experiment, it just looked at what survived layer two and picked the cheapest one.
Which was the $95 jacket, because the cheaper one got vaporized by the dumb pipe.
Exactly.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener, whether you're running a business or just, you know, trying to understand where the internet is heading? It means data infrastructure isn't just a back-end IT problem anymore. It is your storefront.
It really is, because we are looking at the death of copywriting for bots. The author explains this concept that persuasion is mathematically lossy.
Mathematically lossy. I love that phrase.
Yeah, think about it. When a brand takes a precise breathability rating and turns it into, like, world's most breathable mesh, they're destroying high information data.
You're trading precision for emotion.
Right. And the AI agent cannot recover the original number from that catchphrase. So the product is eliminated.
So how do merchants fix this? How do they survive?
The solution the article points to is the Universal Commerce Protocol, or UCP. Merchants have to start publishing a capability manifest, basically a highly structured schema.org feed.
Meaning everything that's currently locked inside these beautiful visual front-end React components has to be exposed.
Yes. Exposed as queryable APIs.
Yeah.
The raw numbers, shipping constraints, precise fabric compositions, that is the actual product now.
If your data feed is incomplete, you're just totally excluded from the transaction. AI won't even see you.
Exactly. And getting your data right is only step one. Step two requires a complete inversion of traditional marketing psychology.
Right, because traditional marketing is all about the funnel, casting the widest net possible. You claim a jacket is good for all weather to get maximum clicks, and you just let the returns department handle the edge cases where it fails.
Which works fine for humans. But in agentic commerce, that strategy is toxic.
Why? Do AI agents hold grudges?
Sort of, yeah. They protect their trust score. Yeah. If an AI buys your all-weather jacket for a human facing a January blizzard, and the human returns it because they froze, the merchant receives a persistent trust discount.
A trust discount, so the AI remembers.
Yes. The AI remembers for all future interactions. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it learns your claims are inflated. To prevent this, merchants have to practice what's called negative optimization.
Negative optimization? That sounds so counterintuitive.
It is. They have to explicitly code who their product is not for, like adding a field that says not suitable for sub-zero temperatures or heavy snow.
Wow. So you're literally programming the machine to avoid buying your product.
Yes. Accuracy post-purchase is now vastly more important than tricking someone into a pre-purchase click. Overpromising literally degrades algorithmic discoverability.
That is wild. It fundamentally changes the economics of retail. So, okay, if beautiful copywriting is dead and broad promises get you penalized, what happens to the discount, the flashing countdown timer? You know, the only two items left in stock banner that makes us all panic buy.
Well, this is the end of scarcity marketing. AI agents don't feel scarcity anxiety.
They don't get the adrenaline spike.
It's not at all. A flashing countdown timer is just a neutral scheduling parameter to a machine. It just notes the time constraint and moves on.
So how do you offer a deal?
Discounts have to evolve into programmable logic. A merchant might expose a rule in their API that says if the cart exceeds $200 and the agent verified a competing offer below $195, automatically apply a 10% discount.
Oh, wow. So it becomes a transparent mathematical contract, no flashy graphics, just conditional logic.
Exactly.
But then where does persuasion actually go? Is branding just dead in this hyper-rational world?
No, branding isn't dead. Persuasion just migrates to the edges of the transaction.
The
Yeah,
edges.
so before the transaction, brand presence shapes the human's initial prompt. If a human specifically asks the AI, "Find me a North Face jacket," the brand just bypassed the competition.
Right, because North Face becomes a hard constraint in layer one.
Exactly. And the other edge is after the transaction. Operational excellence, delivering exactly what you promised, builds long-term algorithmic trust.
It's all about reliability over flashiness.
Precisely.
I really want you, the listener, to think about your own shopping habits for a second. Think about what stands out to you about a shopping landscape where fake urgency and flashing banners literally don't work anymore.
It's a very different internet.
It really is. So, just to summarize what we've unpacked from O'Reilly Radar today, brands that treat e-commerce as purely visual are going to find themselves perfectly optimized for humans, but completely invisible to AI agents.
Yep. If your data is lossy, you don't exist.
The future belongs to those who treat their structured data feeds with as much care as their window displays.
But you know, there is one final thought we should leave everyone with.
Oh, right. Let's hear it.
If AI shopping agents are bound by strict deterministic data and they aggressively filter out anything that doesn't perfectly match a JSON schema, what happens to the joy of serendipity?
Oh, that's a great point. How do you stumble upon something weird and amazing?
Right. How do entirely new genre-breaking products ever get discovered if they don't fit into the exact numeric boxes the AI is programmed to look for? Will true innovation just become invisible?
That is a staggering thought to mull over. If the bouncer only accepts standard IDs, the person with a brand new type of passport gets left out in the cold.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We always love exploring these topics with you. Keep questioning the systems around you, and we'll catch you next time.